Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Lee Cantor here with Clarissa Sparks. This is our first episode of Sparks Stories, and Clarissa is with the She Sparks Agency. Welcome, Clarissa.
Thank you, Lee.
Now, She Sparks and Sparks Stories, how are you going to be serving folks? What's going to be happening on Sparks Stories?
Sparks Stories, we're going to bring entrepreneurs in from around the city to showcase their businesses and share who they are, what they do, and why it matters.
Now, why was it important for you to spotlight this group of people?
As a branding and marketing agency, I encounter women from all over the city who actually have a story to tell. And I think it's very important for us to go out and share our stories so that we can inspire others to become entrepreneurs or to just flourish in their own personal lives.
And this is the debut episode.
Yes.
And you brought with you Full House.
A full house. today, I'm so excited that I have the opportunity to showcase the lifestyle group with the founder, Jamie Bennett.
Hello.
Welcome.
And we have Beautifully Made with Miss Melanie Ivy.
Hello.
And Dr.
Iyabo.
She's a pediatrician here in Atlanta, so she's here going to share with us who she is and what she does and why it matters. So we're, again, just really excited for all of the these business owners and entrepreneurs to be here today to share their spark with the city of Atlanta and the world.
And now, who do you want to start off with?
We're going to start off with Dr. Iyabo.
Welcome, doctor.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Well, why don't you tell us a little bit about what you're up to? How are you serving folks?
So I've been a pediatrician for quite a while, for 26 years now. Went to medical school in Nigeria, was in England for 5 years practicing, and then I've been in Atlanta since 2001, and I've had my private practice in the Metro Atlanta area in Decatur for going on 15 years now. And I serve a very diverse population. I call it the United Nations in my office. Name one country in the world they probably have stepped through my door. So I really love that population. There's a lot of refugees who walk through my door, people who are of low income, have multiple kids, don't have enough money. So I'm from Africa, and I really just love serving that diverse population. So that's one way that I've served people, and then providing employment, mostly for women. Nothing wrong with providing employment for men, but I only have 2 men in my office that are part of my staff, and I have an average of 12. So employment, and then teaching medical students also in my office.
Mm-hmm. Very nice. And your office is located where?
In Decatur.
And you've been in business for 15 years, so yes. I know you've been able to share a lot of spark over those years.
Oh, yes.
Do you have one story or something that kind of just sticks out, and again, how you find your spark and how you engage with your community?
Yes. So it's bittersweet. I serve a large population of foster home kids and kids who live in group homes. So it's nice to be able to serve that population, but it's also disheartening just the number of kids who go from home to home or who, you know, lose their parents in some way or the other. But I'm still glad that I'm able to open my doors to those kids, because without us, they really wouldn't have anywhere. There's some practices who won't take them because they have Medicaid, they have a lot of problems, and it takes a really long time to see those kids. So I just feel honored and humbled to be able to serve kids like that.
Are you able to share with them why you became a pediatrician? Are they curious to know?
Yes, always. They're always asking, so why did you become a pediatrician? How did you do it? How long did it take? And then once they hear it took me 6 to 8 years just in the beginning, another 3 years of residency, maybe 4 more fellowship, they're like, oh, doc, that takes too long. So, yeah, they're always curious to know. Yes.
Very good. How is it juggling being a pediatrician, a mom, an author? You wear a lot of different hats.
I do. Well, there's a way to it. I'll say the first thing is ask for help. You can't do it all. I think sometimes as women, we want to do everything and then we get burnt out. So I've just learned to ask for help. From the beginning, I made sure I saved part of my salary for babysitters and for nannies. Because I don't have family here, so I had to.
Sure.
So you have to, even if it's just part-time, have somebody come in and help you a few days a week so you can write, you can work, you can have time for yourself. Take a walk in nature, do some exercise. read a book. So the first thing is asking for help. The second thing is self-care, self-love. We hear that all the time. What does it mean? Take care of yourself. Because if you don't, you will not have enough energy to take care of others.
I think balance is really, we hear that term a lot, work-life balance.
Yes.
And again, once you can find that synergy and what connects with you, I think it's definitely good to practice.
Yes. Absolutely, yes.
Yeah. So after you've taken care of yourself and found some of that balance, how do you feel that you're making impact within the community?
Lots of ways. Like I shared before, seeing all those patients who normally would not be allowed, not allowed, but they would not. There's a lot of practices that don't take Medicaid for many reasons. And I understand why they don't, because it's really hard to see patients with Medicaid. It takes a long time. There's language barriers. There's insurance barriers. Some of them will make an appointment for one or two kids, walk in with five kids. Yeah, people in the waiting room are getting mad at you. Doc, it's taking forever. But I'm like, well, you know, we have lots of barriers here. So language, money barriers, bringing other children in. So in that way, I feel that I'm serving, because there's many practices they won't see. In fact, when they come in, they let me know. They're like, thanks for taking us, because we've called about 10 practices in the area and they're close to Medicaid. So we're glad that you were able to take us on. So that's number one. Number two, again, is just being able to offer my experiences with patients, especially the teenagers and adolescents. Like you asked, you know, how did you become a doctor? Now that I'm a writer, how did you write? How are you a doctor and a writer? It seems like, you know, an impossible task to people. And I'm like, you can do it. You really can. You just have to dream it, want to do it, and just step out and do it. And then being able to be a small business owner, sure, providing employment, yes, for people who, you know, who normally wouldn't have a job.
All right. So, gosh, you've written books as well. From my understanding, you've written two books in the last 4 months.
Yes. Well, I wrote two books in 4 months. Oh. At the end of 2015 to 2016. I'm writing my third book now. One is published, but the second one isn't published yet.
Okay. What's your first published title?
Permanent Happiness.
Permanent Happiness. Can you share a little bit about that?
Yes, I can. I can share a lot, but I'll keep it brief. So I was inspired to write that after my dad passed. I was really close to my dad. He was the best dad any child could dream of. I just tell people, I'm like, you know, you the importance of fathers, I can't emphasize that enough. It's just I had a good mother in my life too, but my dad was very gentle, very humble. He was very caring, and he was my best mentor. So when he passed in 2015, at the end of 2015, at the age of 86, it hit me really hard. And for some reason, I started journaling even more than I had been. And then I was inspired to start writing a book. And that's how the book came about. And I wrote about 60,000 words in about 6 weeks.
Yeah, yeah. A lot to say.
Yes, I had a lot to say, and I just kept writing and writing, and then I wrote a second book behind that in another 2.5 months. So I wrote two books back to back. So basically, permanent happiness is what we all hear every day about, inner peace. It's being able to find joy, contentment, happiness, peace, regardless of all the noise and chaos happening around us. Mm-hmm. So really, it's being able to decide for ourselves from inside, from within, outside, that we do want to be at peace. So there's many layers to the book, and there's three steps in the book, but you'll have to buy the book to find out the steps.
Where can we buy your book?
On Amazon. On Amazon, yes.
Very good. Very good. All right. So you shared with us what you do, and again, overall, why it matters, that impact. And I guess if you had to leave words of encouragement or inspiration, that spark, what would you share?
I'll talk to women first and girls, that there's no point being overwhelmed with life. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we make life a lot more complicated than it really is. So you need to just breathe, take deep breaths, drink your water, don't get angry, and just be at peace with the world, and it will all work out. No matter what it is that is going on today, tomorrow will be different. It always is. Mm-hmm. So surround yourself with positive people, think positive, take deep breaths, because that helps. When I find that I'm starting to get stressed out, I just remind myself, yeah, but breathe, and a few deep breaths in and out do help me. So it's all going to be okay. Just relax.
Just relax. So that's our word for today. Relax.
Yes.
So now, if somebody wanted to get a hold of you and learn more, is there a website or,
yes,
or
there
can
is.
They find you on social media? Where?
Yes. So I'm all over social media. I'm active on Instagram, on Facebook. My website is driyabo.com. So that's driyabo.com. And all my social media profiles are in there.
And they can find the book there as well?
Yes, yes.
Now, before we wrap with you, I'd like to know maybe some piece of advice for somebody who's considering to get into business for themselves. Because that, on one thing, you had a practice of your medical profession and being, yes, a doctor, but you also had a yearning, I guess, to be a business person,
yes,
even though being a doctor is a business person, but you want to do other things as well. So any advice for that aspiring business person?
Yes. Well, first thing is make sure you're opening your business in an area that you understand. So if you don't like drinking coffee, don't open a coffee shop. If you don't like cupcakes, don't open a cupcake shop. Many people open businesses they know nothing about. They hire a manager, and then they just know nothing about what's going on, and the business collapses. Even in the medical field, many practices close down because the doctors have no idea of the business side of medicine. All they know is their stethoscope prescribing, and they know nothing about the business side of medicine or coding. So make sure you know something about what you're going into. And then remove the noise. Don't ask 100 people if you should open the business or if they can help you. Look for 1 to 3 people who are experts, who've also been successful at business, preferably the kind of business you're opening, or at least some kind of business, and get advice from them. Don't ask your grandma and the neighbor and the dog walker and everybody else if it's okay to open the business. You'll scare yourself out of it.
Now, how was it for you to come to this country, not having family here, and then being able to build up such successful businesses and practice?
So I did move here with my then husband. I'm not married now. I've been divorced for 10 years. So we moved here together. We met in medical school. So I did have him when I moved here. So I just was courageous. I had traveled a lot as a little kid. So we traveled to England a lot from Nigeria when I was little. So I was already comfortable with traveling. But I just had big dreams. I just wanted to explore the world and do more for myself.
Now, are your dreams coming true?
Yes. Yes. And all of them, and there's more that I still want to do. I've spoken at the UN, which is a real big dream come true. And that has been fantastic for me. I've achieved a lot, but there's a lot of work I still have to do.
And that's advice too. Dream big, right?
Yes. Dream big, and don't let anyone tell you you're dreaming too big. Those people that are telling you your dreams are too big are too little for you. You need to push them aside, mm-hmm, and look for people who tell you, if you want to do it, go for it.
Good stuff. One,
yes,
more time, the website?
DriyaBo.com, DriyaBo.com.
Well, thank you so much for sharing
thank
your
you.
Story
Thanks
today.
For having me. Thank
Spark.
You. Thank you. Yay.
All right, Clarissa, who's next?
All right, next we're going to share their story is Miss Melanie Ivy.
Oh, hello, everyone.
That's a tough act to follow, huh?
I know. It really is a tough act to follow. I'm grateful to have heard her story, though, because it's very powerful, and it's interesting to see the synergy already with a lot of things she said sort of flow into what I do, too.
So tell us about what you do.
Okay, well, my passion in life is emotional intelligence and having the ability to understand the greatness within. So I deal a lot with personal development and emotional intelligence. Those are big things for me. By day, most people who are entrepreneurs have other things similar to what we just heard. So by day, I'm in the corporate space. I'm in the project management space. But my passion is about teaching women and girls the power of the greatness that lies within. Growing up, for me, was an amazing experience. But over life and over time, I've seen so many women that have been professionally great at what they do, but they don't see the value and the importance of actually honing in and developing yourself. So as was mentioned before, the self-love, the self-worth, the self-efficacy is what I'm very passionate about awakening within the people that I touch or go through their path with. And as a young girl, I think I turned out well, but it would have been awesome to have gotten that instilled in me at an earlier age. So in my adulthood is when I realized I can fly, there are no limits. But how powerful would it be to actually start instilling that in young girls from a younger age? So I took it upon myself to do that. I was thinking, man, this is amazing. I turned out well, but what about those that don't have that? Mm-hmm. You know, especially in, like you mentioned about the different backgrounds. Some people may come from families where they don't have that instilled in them. And so I'm very passionate about making sure everybody has that same mindset. You are your only limit. And so I want to make sure those don't limit themselves, because there's a lot of stuff that people don't realize are untapped within, and they just need someone just to edge them or just to have that word of encouragement to say, hey, you know, you really can do that. So that's what I focus on through my efforts with Beautifully Made and Beauty Redefined, which I'm excited about kicking off this Saturday.
All right. Would you be able to explain to us a little bit more about emotional intelligence? What exactly is that?
So emotional, I'm trying to summarize it, but emotional intelligence is having the ability to respect someone else's opinion, their perspective on things without taking it personally. And so understanding that means that you have to actually take the moment to say, okay, we all come from different walks of life, different experiences growing up, different perspectives have been the paradigm through which we look. And so a lot of that is perspective. And so when, especially in the corporate space, I've definitely learned and trained and totally gotten it in the corporate space, because there are different walks of life, but we all have a common goal. So in my profession as a project manager, the common goal is whatever the client wants, but there are different walks of life, different perspectives, different experiences that come together for this common goal. And so emotional intelligence is being able to understand and respect that person, but also allow them to have an openness with respecting yours and having common ground to be able to respect that person, as well as appreciate the difference in within everybody for the common goal.
Okay. So how do you use that to make an impact within your community?
Oh, my goodness. There's so many ways you can do that. It could be as small as your family or the people that you interact with outside of corporate space, for me, per se. But it's respect. Respect is general. Everybody should have respect for each other. But it's amazing in the time that we live in now how uncommon that is. And so from that perspective, I'm able to do that with every conversation, everybody I meet. That could be just in the grocery store, for example. You know, someone in line may be struggling and they may have a difficult time. It's funny. I have a good story. I was at the post office yesterday, and for example, and the line was extremely long. A lot of people were getting a little agitated because one person was taking up all the time. And so you could hear the people behind you just having a fit about it or whatnot. And so I just calmly, you know, offer some positivity about it. It could be worse. That's the biggest piece of emotional intelligence for me. It could be worse. Well, it's a reason why this person is reacting that way. And so taking the time to figure out why that is versus you're seeing the result of whatever that is, but there's a root behind that. And so if you take that perspective as you live in general, I have all kinds of opportunities to, you know, convey emotional intelligence.
Okay. So how did you turn that impact into a business?
Wow. Okay, so I had a pivotal moment in my life that awakened me to see that I was living beneath my potential. And so from that perspective, I did the work. I did the inner work for myself to figure out, Melanie, you're really not doing as well as you could be doing. And learning how to erase the opinions of others was a huge thing within that pivotal moment for me that sort of shifted me into this direction. And so once I was able to unlearn some things, release some opinions of others, I was able to soar. So that was so impactful for me. I was thinking, man, it made me start really looking at my life and my past to see how could this impact others. I didn't want another woman to feel the way I did, because it wasn't the most happy moment in my pivotal moment, but it was a low moment for me. And so from there, I was able to do the work to get back my self-esteem, to get back my self-love for myself, and to see, wow, I have a lot of gifts that I've totally brushed under the rug, if you will. And I need to awaken those, because that's my happy space. And so that pivotal moment for me allowed me to come. And I didn't even know it was going to be a business. Actually, during that pivotal moment for me, it turned into a book, to your point. I actually had an injury. during a crazy moment in my life, and it actually had me down for 3 months. I broke my ankle in 4 places. It's pretty rough. People told me I wasn't going to walk the same again, but you saw me walking here. So
that's good.
So I'm grateful for that. But in that time, I really was at a point where I was like, I'm just open. You know, what is it I'm supposed to be doing? Evidently, I'm in this. I don't think anything is by chance or by moment or it's coincidental. It's a reason for everything. And so I took the high road to figure out what that was. And I actually had time to do it because you know how we get busy in life. It's so many things that just sort of get done and they come on your plate and you don't really actually take the time to focus on yourself. And so that moment for me gave me that time. And so in that time, it was therapeutic. I've always been a writer. I love to write. And so I journaled a lot. I wrote a lot. And I was thinking, man, I'm really flowing. So a lot of stuff I just have not had an opportunity just to get out. And it actually turned into my first book, which is called Beauty for Ashes, My Journey from Brokenness to Wholeness and How I Got There. Mm-hmm. And so I was thinking to myself, man, this is an amazing book. And I use, you know, I'm a spiritual person. So I'm a Christian. And from that perspective, I was able to glean from the Bible and my experiences to write things that will help someone else in the same right. You don't have to per se be a Christian, but the book will impact you because it's about you taking the time to journal, to focus, to meditate, to get yourself in a position where you're at your happy place. What is your safe space? Create safe spaces for yourself. And then make that more of a daily thing versus a, you know, an occasional thing when you have some downtime. It should actually be a part of who you are. Mm-hmm. And so through my journaling that turned into a book, I'm able to share that. And that turned into being able to share with organizations, different private sector groups, even in the public sector, in different ways to be able to share the importance of taking that time to be whole. Because whole, you cannot help anyone, like was mentioned before, until you're a whole person. And it's not selfish to take care of yourself. So self-love is not selfish. Mm-hmm. That's a big thing that I learned.
Self-love is not selfish. All right. That is awesome. So I guess with that, what inspired you or what continues to inspire you to give that spark and share with your community?
The results of people actually having their aha moments, to have them actually go through the different workshops and programs that I offer and to see the evolution of them and the freedom that they experience from actually doing the work. It's a lot of times people want the fast, you know, result. Okay, well, I just want the microwave answer. But the work that causes you to actually have wholeness is, it's hard work and it's consistent work. And so those who tap into wanting to do that work will actually benefit. And so seeing people have their spark, if you will, from that freedom and saying, man, I really can do some things. You know, I'm not constrained by what people tell me I can do. It is amazing. And so I love being able to offer or support them in that aha moment they have for themselves.
And how do you support them?
Okay, so I have different programs and workshops for them that are specific for that. And the one that's going to be kicking off Saturday is called Beauty Redefined. And it's a 12-month intensive. Wow. Most people offer, you know, 30 days, 90 days, and then you're on your own. But it was laid on my heart in December to put together a 12-month program. And this program is very intense. It's going to be good. I'm going to be there. It's more so a local program for now. But I have a cohort of women who are excited to start on Saturday. And the program delves into the areas of personal development, financial health, managing healthy relationships, and digging deeper into entrepreneurship and just the whole balance, the wholeness, if you will. That's what the whole program is for. I know I would want to benefit from something like that if I was growing up. And you don't have to do things alone. A lot of times when you're in those situations where you don't have the self-love, you isolate yourself. And when you isolate yourself, that's when you feel like, you know, you get down, you get depressed. You're like positioning yourself to be in that space. And so with this program, it allows us all to work together. You know, I want them to know, even though I was able to do that through the book, you know, I call that a physical depiction of me supporting you through the book. But now I want to take it a step further. And so with that, I'm going to walk with these ladies for a year. Every year, every month we have, you know, they're 4 or 5 hour sessions. It's half day sessions where we're going to delve deep into these different areas. And I have speakers coming in from different states and it's going to be awesome. It's going to be
awesome.
Sounds
exciting.
Yes.
Sounds very exciting.
So now if somebody wanted to learn more, what's the best way to find out about that?
Sure. So you can go to beautifullymademovement.com to find out more about, and I didn't even talk about that. So I have a show as well. It's called Beautifully Made. And that show delves into giving girls and young women actual people who look like, you know, them, and give them the opportunity to see people who have made it. A lot of times we see the finished product, but we don't know how they got there.
Right.
And so from that perspective, this show that I created highlights 12 to 13 women a year, and I interview them, and they're able to actually share their stories about how they journeyed to self-love. Mm-hmm. How did they get to that place that we see the finished product now, but we don't see how they got there? And so people admire people, but they don't actually have the time to uncover how they got to that point. And so, yes, beautifullymademovement.com is how you get to that information. If you go there, you can also see last year's episodes of Beautifully Made as well as on YouTube.
And then so far, what has been your most rewarding story you can share? Maybe you've transformed or helped a person transform.
Okay, so I have a person in particular that she's still transforming. But the amount of progress she's made from last year is amazing. And so, have you heard the term negative Nancy, if you will? So I have a negative Nancy person that's, you know, always doesn't see the glass half empty instead of half full. And so that's been a challenge, but it's been a great challenge because you cannot take that person quickly. You have to be direct with them, but you also have to love on them so they don't see it as being defensive or offensive with what you're doing to let them see themselves. Because if you can't see yourself, then you can't work on yourself. So you really have to get to a point where it's like, okay, this is really me. Man, I really am negative Nancy. I need to figure out, how did I get to this space? First, you have to be willing to do the work to figure out, okay, it may hurt to get to that point. You may cry a little bit, but that's all part of the process. So that person has gone from being negative Nancy to, you know, getting to the point where they're like, yeah, you know, I did have a negative Nancy moment. Let me back it up, instead of not even knowing that they were negative Nancy. So that's progress. And I'm excited to see how much further we get this year as we continue to coach through that.
Good stuff. Now, one more time, the website?
Oh, beautifullymademovement.com. You can follow me on Instagram as well, Melanie D. Ivey, I-V-E-Y, and beautifullymade_movement on Instagram as well.
Well, thank you so much for sharing your story.
Thank you.
You spark, Melanie.
Thank you.
All right, Clarissa, who's the headliner? Who's closing out the show?
She's closing out the show. Drum roll, please. We have Miss Jamie Bennett with the Lifestyle Group. Hey, Jamie.
Hello, everyone.
Have you learned anything today?
I have. It's interesting that we all kind of have self-care as a principle and a model behind what we do, because it's critical.
Well, tell us about your work. How are you serving folks?
Well, I serve my clients through different ways. So either through personal concierge organization work, through execution and accountability coaching, and or through HR consulting. And that may not make sense to anybody looking from the outside in, but prior to being an entrepreneur, I was in corporate doing HR for 22 years. And something just felt wrong about leaving all of that on the table. And then I sort of got into this rebellious place when I turned 40. I don't have to leave nothing on the table, and it doesn't have to make sense to anybody other than me. And so I serve people sometimes in two categories, sometimes in all three. I support a lot of small businesses in their HR practice from a perspective of, if you don't know how to hire, you're stunting the growth of your business. And then they kind of become accountability execution clients. And then I get into their personal life and organize their life. And so far, so good. It's been working well.
How long have you been working with within your industry?
The business turned 6 this year.
Oh, happy
happy birthday.
Thank you. Very excited about it. And it's interesting because I never wanted to be an entrepreneur. I did not want it. When I was first led to do it, I was like, oh, no, thank you. I don't think that's what I want to do.
Why do you think you shied away from being an entrepreneur?
I think it had a lot to do with being exposed. There's something very comforting being anonymous. Right? When you step out on this platform and you start giving speeches and talks, there is a judgment that can be heavy if you haven't built up the confidence to kind of brush it away from a perspective of, you don't really matter.
Mm-hmm. And how do you find that confidence?
You know what? I had to honestly do a lot of mindset work, a lot of delving deep to understand that the limitations that I had on me were because of me. And, you know, a willingness to all of a sudden show up authentically, which was not something I did in corporate. You know, when in Rome, do what the Romans do. And so there was sort of this breath of fresh air being able to show up exactly who I am and letting people decide. You either can participate and be a client or not. But my ideal clients, I resonate with them, and those are the people that matter.
Okay. And so what is your client's response when you're helping them reorganize, restructure their lives?
You know, it's interesting. I had a lot of challenges figuring out who my ideal client was, and it finally hit me. It's us. It's professional women who are amazing at the thing they do. So they're amazing doctors, amazing lawyers, amazing psychiatrists. But there is a disconnect between that forward-facing or public-facing persona in their home life. Like, a lot of times the home life is a hot mess. And there is a unwillingness to let somebody in to help. And what I've explained to my clients is, if being on the radio is your thing, there's no expectation that managing a household should also be your thing. You've got to learn how to delegate to create a sanctuary for you to find peace after you're done with this stuff.
So is it hard for that the lawyer, the doctor, for them to grasp what you're offering?
I think they get it. It's hard for them to let me in. And in the beginning, I was so frustrated because I would be in all of these private Facebook groups and hear them complaining and lamenting the stress in their life. And I'm like, you know what I do. And in the beginning, it would literally take a quarter sometimes for somebody to hear my pitch and then to sign on. I've gotten better at pressing buttons unapologetically. And so I got probably like 8 discovery calls in December. Because I was like, you know, if you go into the new year with your stuff a mess, you're not starting off on a good baseline. And it's like, all right, put me on your calendar.
That's really good. Like I said, I guess it is hard for allow someone, even a professional, to come into your personal life and tell you that you are a mess. Right. And I'm going to try to help you sort it out the best way possible. So again, having that personal relationship with the client is very intimate. And so you have to probably use a lot of your skills to balance out that act.
It's interesting. The HR part of my life really comes into play, helping them be comfortable. So I always talk about the perspective of, I know how to hire. I did it for 22 years. I have confidentiality agreements. I have a code of ethics. Whatever happens in your house, whatever we see stays private. Mm-hmm. Right? And it's really about closing the disconnect. Let me create a sanctuary in your home for you where you really can find peace. You can keep fronting and pretending right. if you like, but you're not serving yourself in the best way when you do that. And sooner or later, you're going to have a nervous breakdown behind it. Oh. So let me in on the front end before you're on the couch.
Again, goes back to balance.
Yes.
Finding that balance. And your organization helps with balance.
Yes, it does. I mean, and again, delegation in your private life seems to be a very hard thing for our clients, but it's no different from being an executive with an assistant. That assistant doesn't do anything for you that you can't do. You can make your own travel. You can pick up the phone. You can do everything she does, but it doesn't make sense mm-hmm. when you look at what you make and what she makes. And so it's the same thing at home. Delegate it. Get a maid once a quarter for a deep clean. Get, you know, the lawn care people. Like, delegate this stuff out. It's an investment in your peace of mind.
So if you had to offer one tip for us to get started for the new year, what would it be?
Declutter. Declutter is huge. I really have come to believe that everything has energy attached to it, and it's either replenishing energy or draining energy. And so if there's things that you haven't used, those size 4 pans that you're not ever getting back in, find somebody to bless. Like, there is an energy that's attached to blessing someone with the things that you really are no longer using. You're just holding on to them just because.
All right, so we need to declutter in 2019, find balance, and we need to work on self-care.
All of that. Put your own self at the top of your to-do list. Same concept on an airplane. You can't save anybody if you don't put the mask, you know, on yourself first.
Right.
Same thing.
Same thing. Well, thank you.
So if somebody wanted to declutter and they want to get a hold of you to help, what's the best way to find you?
They can visit me on my website, which is wemanagelife.com. And there is a contact form, and we will set up a discovery call to see if we're a fit, because everybody's not my client and I'm not everybody's organizer.
And then what does your perfect client look like?
Somebody that's ready to delegate, that can really stand beside me and help make those purge decisions with the idea that at the end, this is painful right now, but I'm going to win at the end of this process.
Now, do they have to be Atlanta-based, or are your clients all over?
I have clients all over. I just actually added my 6th state, so I will travel. Send for me.
She'll come.
She will.
And one more time, the website?
WeManageLife.com.
Well, thank you so much for sharing your story.
Thank you for having me.
And Clarissa, what do you think? First episode, feel good?
First episode is, I feel really great. Again, thank you, ladies, for being here and sharing your spark, what you do, why it matters, and who you are, thanks for sharing who you are, what you do, and why it matters, and giving us an insight of how you find spark in everyday life. So thank you.
And then people can tune in to this show to find more stories of this.
Yes, you can tune in at AtlantaBusinessRadio.com as well as SheSparks.com.
Good stuff, Clarissa.
All right, sounds good.
This is Lee Cantor for Clarissa Sparks. We will see you all next time on Spark Stories.